Well, hi, everyone. It's Gary and Sam and John joining you for another campfire conversation. Originally, we were going to have Leon as our guest. Something came up, and so we're just going to reschedule her at another time. So we want to throw out a question that we would like to have a group conversation about. And I've wondered about this for a long time. I think it's really important that we have the ability to evaluate how are we doing, you know, to look at our life and see if we're doing well or we're not doing well. You know, it's something that's important that we are able to do with our physical bodies. Because if we're not doing well, we may need to put things in place to bring health back again. But as a believer, spiritually, with our heart, how are we doing? How do we measure that? Do we measure that simply on how we're feeling in the moment? Which is the real easy default to have of, oh, I feel great, I'm doing well, when we may not be doing well. So we know that just how we're feeling emotionally cannot be the answer. But what is the answer to that? So I thought this would be a fun discussion that Sam and John and I would definitely want your perspective, your input. What have you learned about that? That very question. So first of all, let me just ask John and Sam what they think about that question, because I put this on them at the last moment. So just what do you guys generally think about that question? Is it a valid question, or am I just coming up with something for the call? What do you think?
I think it's an excellent question. And to me, most of the time when I get asked how I'm doing, my knee jerk is to just say, to quickly think through, well, everything's going well in my life. Circumstances are positive. So, yeah, I'm doing okay. And rarely does anyone ask, well, then, but seriously, how are you doing at the heart level? In fact, Gary, you're probably one of the very few people that ever asked me that. So I had to think through, now, what do I say when Gary asks? Because I know you're... Go ahead.
Yeah, so exactly, John. That's what I'm going to ask you. So when I've asked you that before, how do you answer that question? How do you measure your heart to answer that question?
Yeah, and I zero in on my heart. I think, okay, how am I doing? What's going on at the heart level? And I usually gauge that by primarily, how is my desire for God? Am I yearning for Him more? Am I experiencing Him more? Or am I just kind of blah towards Him? Am I mad at Him for any reason? Those are the kind of questions I quickly go through in my mind to just see what is the condition of my heart.
So let me ask you, with that question, how are you doing with God? Now, you mentioned a few things. Am I mad? You know, do I feel distant? Do you think that's a prime gauge of how you're doing with God, or is that more of a gauge of the kind of condition of your heart may have? Do you think that has everything to do with your relationship with God in that moment, or a little bit, or very little, or what? What do you think?
No, I don't think that's everything. That's kind of my door in.
Mm-hmm.
If what immediately comes to mind is that I'm really upset with God because something didn't turn out the way I was hoping it would, or I'm really anxious because I'm waiting on Him to come through for something, I'm trying to think through my life and how, because I've gone through so many seasons where I wasn't doing well, and those were the kinds of things that it was just blatantly obvious that I had an issue in my relationship with Him, and it was something at the level of the heart, and so I knew something was wrong. I wasn't doing well. The answer to the question, no, I'm not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are kind of the, I just call them my doors in.
Yeah, to begin the journey of evaluating how you're doing. That's what you're
right.
saying. Sam,
right.
What about you?
Well, to start with, you said, what do I think of the topic?
And true, okay.
So I think the topic is a great topic. I mean, in some ways, I would say it's like right driving down Main Street for my blog about beliefs of the heart, because it's sort of examining what our tools are we using to really make a good determination. You know, like you were saying, if I just feel happy, I might not be doing well. You know, I might be screwing up in all kinds of areas of my life, but just be unaware of it. So I do like the question. I think it's a good thought-provoking question.
Mm-hmm.
I think that on the surface level, and I think I speak for all of us, but I will just speak for myself, I think circumstances are often determining how I'm doing. You know, in other words, I'm letting circumstances determine. If things are going well, you know, if you touch something and it works, you feel like you're doing well. And when you touch things and all of a sudden they don't work, you feel like you're doing badly. And so I just don't think that's a real determination of whether we're doing well. But, I mean, Gary and John, tell me, am I wrong? That isn't that sort of our primary emotional reaction to how are you doing? If everything we're touching is working, we feel like we're doing okay. Or am I just the only one?
No, I agree.
No, Sam, you're a mess. You're a mess theologically. You're a mess. No. Yeah, so keep going, John, because I agree as well. Keep going, and then I'll jump in.
John or Sam?
No, John, with what you were saying when you said I agree, and then I interrupted you as you...
Oh.
Well, just that circumstances, you know, you immediately look at circumstances and think, if everything's going well, then I must be doing okay. And I really liked, I want to touch back on what Sam just said about beliefs at the level of the heart, because I've been thinking about that lately, how easily we can become deceived. And there may be, I love the term Tom Owen said, a well-placed lie that we don't even realize we've adopted, we've agreed to. And we're operating out of that, and we don't even realize it. And the circumstances are fooling us, telling us that that well-placed lie may be true.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like Sam said, we're not doing well, but we think we are.
Right.
Right, and the truth is, I know you wanted to say it, Gary, but as John was just saying something. I think that the converse can be true. I think sometimes maybe the best time in my life is when all the circumstances seem bad, and yet I'm hanging in there. I mean, in a certain sense, my emotions are pretty poor guides to how I'm doing, because I you know, as I look back at my life, I think there's been times where I've been hanging on with my fingernails, you know, barely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of work, because of finances, because of family issues, all that happened at once. And I look back and said, you know what, I actually think I handled that pretty well. Now, I was exhausted, I was nervous, but you know, I stayed the course. You know, just because you're in the middle of a storm doesn't mean you're doing badly. It just means there's a storm.
Right, right. Yeah, and let me just pause for a minute and say, hey, everyone listening, I really want you guys to jump in on this. What do you think? How do you measure this? What do you look for? What do you evaluate? Yeah, Sam, I would say, you know, as I was thinking about this before we got on the call, my mind went to that 2 Corinthians 4 verse where Paul says, you know, we are hard-pressed on every side but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair, you know, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. And I thought, that's really fascinating, because if I thought, okay, I am feeling hard-pressed on every side, I am perplexed, I'm getting persecuted, I would say, I'm not doing well. And yet, you know, Paul is saying, hey, this is kind of the Christian life, and the fact is, you know, we're not crushed, we're not in despair, we're not destroyed, we're not abandoned. Because that's what I want to go to, is how am I feeling, and what is the result of my life right now? You know, And I look towards work. What do I do? Whether that's writing or speaking or whatever that is. And I go right to that. And I realize how much of that is out of my control. You know, there are days I just can't do those things. I can't muster it, or I don't have an opportunity. Something else has come up. So I really do think that I heard somebody say once, or I probably read it, where somebody said, make sure that you are not harder on yourself than God is hard on you. And I thought, okay, that's convicting, because I really am sure that I'm far harder on myself. I think I'm pretty comfortable and sometimes enjoy, you know, judging and punishing myself. And probably God is saying, you know, I'm not really doing that. And I am the judge here. I'm the one who sees all things. So, yeah. Yep.
You know, there's another question that we might ask that is sort of parallel to this. And it's not so much how are you doing or are you doing well, because we may not be doing well, but we're in a good place. We may be in a place where God is allowing some really negative circumstances to come our way, and we really aren't doing well. We're failing. But he's using that in that good place. I mean, I tell people this a lot of time. They're going through a struggle, and I say, this will sound strange, but you're in a good place. In fact, you're in as good a place as you could possibly be right now, because God is at work in this, and he's bringing something out that you would never have seen or experienced otherwise. So there, I think there's a lot of times we're in a good place, but we're not doing very well in that place.
That's good. That's good, because, you know, we've talked in the past how God will engineer circumstances. He'll bring us through, you know, those seasons, like in Ecclesiastes, of tearing down, not building up, of scattering, not gathering, of war and not love, of shunning embrace versus embracing, you know, and these kind of things. And if that's true, then we can do well in circumstances that don't feel well. They don't feel good. Right.
You know, I think that one tool to use for determining how we are is to be able to have friends that you can talk to and say, guys, how am I doing? You know, here are the circumstances. Here are my thoughts. Here are my emotions. And have somebody else say, you know what, I think you're handling it fine. Or have someone else say, you know, I think that you're giving into a little bit too much anxiety. You know, how can we help you? I mean, but I think having an outside person sometimes is the best, because once we're inside our head, it's so hard for us to accurately gauge how we're doing.
Right, right. Oh, I agree. I think that's just why it's very hard to self-diagnose physically,
right,
or self-prescribe physically our body. You know, we need someone else. Yeah, I agree. You know, I think what's difficult, what I find difficult, is in the Christian world, and I wouldn't say I'm steeped in the Christian world, you know.
That's my job. No, sorry. And that's not a compliment.
but you know, there are these images that are put forth in the Christian world. It's the, you know, joyful, or it's the doing really well financially. It's the, you know, it may have to do with how you dress, how you speak, how you sing, how you worship, and there's all these images that I think is often put out there by the Christian world of what it looks like to be a victorious Christian, is a word often used. You know, a joyful Christian, someone walking with God. And I think most of us, you know, we are, images are so powerful that it's easy for an image to kind of come up in our mind as we're wondering, how am I doing? Well, I'm not doing that. I can't do that right now, at least not authentically, sincerely, from my heart. So I guess I'm not doing well. I just think the whole world of Christian images can be a dangerous thing. when it comes to evaluating how we're doing. And then, if we're not careful with it, we jump into that imitation of, well, I've got to force myself to do that, to look like that, and then I'll be doing better.
I once heard maybe I wrote this, I can't remember. I have to put a note in my little database, which I call the evangelical checklist when you're doing badly. It says, have you confessed all known sin? Have you prayed in faith? Have you pled the blood of Christ? Have you thanked God for all your many blessings? Have you claimed all his promises? Have you rebuked the devil? And I say this sort of tongue-in-cheek because I do think that there's times in the Christian life that God just allows adversity. And we tend to think that if we do these five things or these six things, then everything will work right. But, you know, Job, I think, you know, I would love it if God said to Satan, well, no, I wouldn't actually, so I take that part. But what if God says to somebody, I have nobody like my servant Sam. There's nobody like my servant Gary. John is the greatest of all my servants. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So Job handles things pretty well, and yet his life spirals downhill. And I think there's a formula among certain kind of evangelical Christians that if you're doing everything right, confessing sins, prayed in faith, pled the blood of Christ, then everything will go right. And I just don't think that's the Christian message. I just don't think it is at all. Now, I think we're supposed to do all those things. I don't mean to mock them exactly. I just mean to mock the abracadabra nature of them.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times have you heard someone say, I'm not doing well, I need to spend more time in prayer or Bible study? In other words, I've got to step up the pace. I've got, you know, I got to ramp up because God isn't really happy with my performance right now. That's what's going on. He's mad at me.
Of course, on the other hand, when I pray and buy, I tend to do better. So it's confusing.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think if we treat the practice of reading the Bible or the practice of praying as a rabbit's foot that we rub and things will be better.
Great.
You know, then we're in trouble versus I just need to be with God. I just need to have my mind refreshed with his word. I just need to pour my heart out to God. Right. And it's easy to do it, you know, for me at least, to jump into the, if I do this, then this will happen and things will be better. Right. Okay, so let me ask you this. Something else that comes to my mind with this question is Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. If we are, is that the sign, is that the measure that we're doing well? Love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Oh.
Or is it a shorter list of faith, hope, and love, the greatest of which is love? Is that it? Or is it the verse in Philippians 4 that talks about, and let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus? Is it peace? What do you think?
I think that the question has to do with, when we ask how are we doing, are we talking about how are we doing in this moment, or are we talking about relatively how we're doing in this season? Meaning, you know, for the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, those nine character traits, one of the funny things about the Hebrew, or the Greek, is that it doesn't call them the fruits of the Spirit, it calls them the fruit, and the implication is that we're growing in all of them. Because, you know, some of us are more loving, other of us are more peaceful. Some of us have more control, self-control. Some others of us have more patience. You know, there's a natural element, but I think when the fruit of the Spirit is growing, all of them are growing. And I think I can say, if I look back 5 years to today, I'm growing in those. But if you ask me in any given day, I might think I'm a complete failure at all of them, you know. And so if you say, how am I doing in this season? I think I can make a better determination sometimes. Actually, maybe my wife would be the best one to make a determination. Maybe we should get her on the phone.
Okay.
Nope, she's outside. Sorry.
Well, we'll wait. Go get her.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so I think that is, I'm just writing myself a note, I think that's a great thing to think about. Principle is you need to evaluate over the long run, not in the moment. Because in any single moment, I could look at my life and realistically say, I'm failing. It's a failure. I'm not doing well. But rather to look over a period of time and to be able to say, you know what, I really am growing. Now, this is not a good moment for me, but I think I am maturing. I think I do see the fruit of the Spirit to a little bit greater level than before each one of those or together. So I think looking over a period of time versus looking in a specific moment is a huge idea, a very important idea right there.
I know there have been times when, in fact, it's pretty common for me to experience, I wouldn't call it depression, I would just call it feeling kind of blue. And when that starts to come on, I've learned to say, now, how temporary is this? Because I've been through seasons where it would last 4 or 5 weeks, but usually it's a matter of hours. And in fact, for a little while today, for about an hour or two, it was just kind of this blue feeling. And it came on and I realized, well, I think I know what's going on. It's not a permanent thing. So it's just a reaction to something that I had a deal with a client today, and it just kind of made me feel kind of down. And within an hour or two, I had addressed the issues, and I knew I'm really doing okay, just that one little thing. So in the long run, I know I'm doing okay. But I've been places where, all right, this is the third week, this is the fourth week, this is the fifth week, and that's when I realized, you know, this is just not right. There's something definitely wrong here, and I need to figure out what it is.
Yep. Yeah, so I guess just like a physician would look at something, some ailment or problem, he wants to see how long that has been going on, right? The persistence of it, how long-term has it been versus in the moment, which anything can change right away, circumstances as well as our feelings. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that... now it might have gone up my page here all of a sudden that Jim has said.
I'm looking back too, yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, was up here. Oh, he said. It's funny. Systematically, we say how we are doing, but in reality, we're asking about how are we. We're being asked about how are we being. And I thought that's. Yeah, that's a good point, because in the moment I may not be doing well, but in my being, you know, I'm persisting. I think about the, you know, again, the verse about the seed and the sower. About us, a man with a good and noble heart who hears the word, retains it, and through perseverance produces a crop. And Sam, I've heard you say many times, we have to keep remembering crops have a season. You harvest at a certain season. For the majority of the time, there is no seeing it. You know, it's only harvest for a short time. So, you know, we have to understand that there's seasons for things, as we said, and that we know that we're persisting. Those who persevere, yeah.
You know, this is completely from left field or right field, not center field. But I wonder sometimes if a small indicator of how we're doing, you know, let's say that we're looking at our instrument panel on our car, the dashboard, you know, there's different kind of lights that are indicating different kind of things. But I wonder if one of our indicators is our ability to be honest with our friends, meaning honest about ourselves. And if we're not, I wonder sometimes if that's an indicator of something not right. You know, we can't share this difficulty, or we can't share this joy even. You know, when we're not able to share something going on inside our lives, that seems to be an indicator of something, you know, we're misfiring. One cylinder at least isn't firing or something. Mm-hmm. There's something about sort of the connectedness we can have with friends that I think is just an indicator of how we're doing. Just randomly sharing that.
No, I think that's true. And, you know, one of the things that came up in a campfire conversation months back now, maybe it was a year, was this idea that, and most people chimed in on the chat box and said, yeah, it's true for them, is that most of us, when we're not doing well, we isolate from other people. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, yeah,
we we don't want to talk. You know, the phone rings, caller ID comes up, and we go, no, I'm not going to pick the phone up. And it's not that we don't like the person. We just don't want to connect with anybody. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, that's where I go. I go into isolation. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to be, you know, the guy who's always the mess. I don't want to hear advice. I don't even want to hear my own voice talk about this again. And I can more quickly catch myself and say, all right, something's really wrong right now, and it needs to be addressed, because most things wrong don't get better by themselves. So it is talking to somebody, which a lot of times then makes me want to go back in and actually spend more time with God in conversation and read His Word and that kind of thing. So I think that's very key.
So you're partly saying transparency with somebody is both an indicator of how we're doing and it's a cure for how we're doing.
Yeah, I do. Yep. Mm. Because you know what, and so many people are saying, and I agree with them, there's just, you know, phrases like, well, putting our eyes back on Jesus, you know, staying in His Word, those things. I find that when I don't want to do that, I don't want to talk to anybody else either. Not God, not another person. You know, I'm isolating all the way around and something's wrong. So I think it's both telling and it's curative, as you're saying. Yeah. I mean, another verse that came to my mind as I was thinking, trying to prepare for this, seeing where I would go with this, how I'd answer this question, was back to 2 Corinthians 4, where it says, because this addresses what I feel often, 4:16, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart. So that's what I'm feeling a lot of times. And then he says, though outwardly we're wasting away, right? That's reality. He said, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. That's also reality. He says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, which can be very discouraging, wasting away sort of thing, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That passage really strikes me, because losing heart is what it feels like to me, is probably the best descriptor of when I'm not doing well. And I pretty much am looking at everything outwardly. And I probably have grounds for saying, I have reason to lose heart right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
One of the things Michael Kimball said early on was, he said, faithfulness to spiritual disciplines is important for conversational clarity. Circumstances may be the least reliable of indicators. And I agree with him. I don't always know if I like the word Christian disciplines, because I feel like I'm being hammered all the time for not being disciplined in this area or that area. But, you know, Christian disciplines, Christian practices, you know, the practice of sharing with friends, the practice of reading scripture. I do think that these are, if they're not indicators of how we're doing, I think they can sometimes put a wall of protection around us, of staying the course. You know, it's sort of like, you know, when you're sailing a boat and the winds are going, you just try to stay the course. You try to keep it going north or east or west, whichever way you're going. You're trying to stay the course. And one of the ways we stay the course are with these different Christian practices of confessing to friends, reading scripture, praying, just taking some time away from work, you know, a mini Sabbath, if you will. I think these Christian practices are really helpful.
Yeah.
You know, in some ways that's like a well-trained athlete who gets the flu. And so for a season, he's not feeling well, he's weak, he's not able to perform to maximum capacity physically, But then as he begins to feel better, the first thing he wants to do is to get back out, get fresh air, get exercise, do those disciplines that help him maintain and improve his physical capability. And in a lot of ways, that's a picture of what the, I guess, the spiritual disciplines are. The difference is that we also have this thing called religion that seeps in and says that those disciplines are more than just helpful. There are things you better do or you're going to be in trouble. There are ways, you know, and I have to constantly look at my heart when I'm doing the disciplines, when I'm reading the scriptures, and when I'm praying and meditating. Am I doing this because I'm supposed to, or am I doing it because I really need it or desire it? And I just have to be careful there not to let the religious side of it jump on board and take over.
Boy, but this is just such a hard topic. Oh, I guess this is a different topic. You're going to take me down an alley, John.
Yeah, I saw myself going there too.
I mean, so what if I said, oh my goodness, I'm not robbing banks because I'm being too pharisaical. I'm going to go rob a bank. I mean, yes, I want the right motivations for doing something. But, you know, Paul was talking about the preachers, and he's saying, you know, some do it out of selfishness, some do it out of pride, some do it out of this, some do it just to hurt me. But he says, hey, I'm happy that they're doing it at all. You know, at least the gospel's being preached. I do think that we want to be careful about the disciplines, not to do it pharisaically or moralistically or legalistically or religiously. On the other hand, I would say that the vast majority of Christians I see don't do it at all. And maybe they're not doing it because they don't want to do it pharisaically or religiously. I would say let's do it, but try to purify our motivations at the same time.
Exactly. Not doing it is not the way to deal with it.
That's not the solution.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's a good sentence, yeah. Yeah, so if we're doing the disciplines as qualifications to get God to like us more and, quote, bless us more, versus their ways to be healthier in our walk with God, that we are healthier in our walk with God, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So, guys, any final thoughts on this as we wrap up this time? Besides, next time get Lee on the phone.
No, I thought it was a good topic. I thought it was a good topic. It's sort of an interesting topic to sort of say, how do we determine this? Because I think that our emotions almost always are lying to us about how we're doing.
Right.
So it's helpful to get some other more solid criteria. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, and again, this idea of, you know, how do we know if we're losing heart? Scripture says don't, but it says we need to look at the inwardly, not outwardly. And that's I look outwardly, and part of my emotions are a very outward thing. In that they're very tied to what's happened outwardly, you know.
Sure.
Because it's, you know, it's amazing. I can feel awful, and one little thing can change in 5 minutes of my circumstances, and I'm the happiest person in the world all of a sudden. I'm thinking, really, am I that unstable, really? And I am. Anyway, we're good. This has been a fun conversation. So
yeah.
Well, hey, Gary, I hope Lee's okay.
Yes.
I assumed it was just, it wasn't a big deal. It was just something she couldn't.
Yeah. Yep. It was just something that came up and we have to reschedule. That's all it was. She's fine.
Well, make sure she knows we are looking forward to her coming. I really was disappointed when I saw that she wasn't going to be there tonight. So.
Yep.
No pressure. No pressure.
No pressure.
Guilt.
We'll get her on.
Oh, maybe a little guilt.
Thank you. Yeah. If it works. Yeah. So, anyway. All right, everybody. Good night, and we'll let you know what we're doing next week. Thanks for joining us. See ya.
Good night.